We're back at the Victoria Trades Hall, and this is the International Workers' Day, and we're lucky enough to have with us right now Sonia from the May Day Committee and Louise from the West Palpua office down in Docklands. So Sonia, tell us a little bit about the May Day Committee's work to, in order to get this day to happen.
Well, it's a lot of volunteer work. And there's always a lot of work to attract, to let people know the committee exists and to participate. So what actually occurs that before the Christmas, round about December, the committee's meeting, they then decide to what poster they would have. So we have a very good cartoonist called Gary Shaw, and he will listen to what the committee is saying are the issues they want portrayed on the poster, and he does his artistic. We work with him and we get the final product. So that's particularly my area with my husband, to do the posters. And then the next thing, of course, is to organise. I'm talking about organisational things that people don't realise have to go on. So then you've got to design the badge and the ribbon. And so again, there's discussion, what goes on the badge, what goes on the ribbon. So they're detailed things that people wouldn't be aware of. The problem, not the problem, the challenge faced to the May Day Committee is to involve people. Traditionally, unions are involved, but a lot of unions have changed to actually contact the union. They do a lot of things online. The office isn't used as much. So when we take our posters around, we find that it's not getting to the membership as it did many years ago or just recently. So also, though, what we've noticed is there's a lot of community activity going on in groups. And so our task then is to reach out to groups of people who don't know about the May Day, its purpose and its history, and explain to them that here's a day where they can demonstrate their concerns together with other unions and community groups on one particular day and give each other a sense of strength. So these things are always at the back of the mind of the members of the committee. And as you know, to get people to come, they sometimes think, oh, it's a lot of work, I'll be involved. Well, it's not. What we need in the committee, there's executive, of course, and then there's committee meetings, is their ideas and what they would like to see changed or improved, or but mostly how we contact people. So these sort of things perhaps you don't realise. And, of course, then there's money. And there's very little of it around. A lot of the unions are tight, you know, as you know. Communities don't have much money. So we have to then at the same time be looking at how we can finance the poster, how we can carry out the other tasks that have to be done. So it's a variety of things, but it's all at the back of it. It's the importance of May Day and what it means. And it's a means for the workers to come together, whether they're in a union or they're in the community, and demonstrate the issues of the day. And never more than now are there so many issues that people's voice should be heard together. So it's does that explain some of your questions?
Yeah, certainly does. And of course, Louise from the West Palpuan office down in Docklands, this is one of the reasons for why you've come to May Day, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Well, yes, because we feel that West Papuans have said the same thing for now 65 years, and Australians have actually said the same thing as well for 65 years, which is we don't care. So we just come hoping that someone will listen,
will care,
and come to our merch and take a bit of information home. That's the extent of our ambition in coming to this May Day event. But also, I'm here today with a couple of new West Papuans from West Papua, and so they've got no experience of what a union can do and unionism per se. So they're here today, they're marching at the moment, so you can't talk to them, but they're intrigued and So my job is to sort of teach them the history of organising and solidarity and those sorts of things for which the unions are known.
Yeah, right, okay. Can you tell me, Sonia, a bit about your journey? Because we're talking about unions. I mean, you were a teacher and part of the teachers' union.
Yes, that's right. Technical Teachers Union initially, and then it was amalgamated to the Australian Teachers Union.
Yeah, right. And so that's a natural progression into the importance of May Day, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. Yes, it certainly is. So, and also to encourage unions that that they participate in the May Day, because they're an organised group. Look at the teachers just recently. They've had a big demonstration, and other areas, like I know locally, they have garbage men out
the
on
councils.
Strike. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, the ASU council, and they'll be having their major strike on Tuesday.
Are they? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
10:30 at Trades Hall outside.
Oh well, that's good
there
to know. Yes. Well, being active as a community person in Hume. We are interested in these things. But, yes, the union's participation is traditionally the essence of the May Day March, but it's not a complete reflection of the organisations that are going on within the community as well. So there needs to be more encouragement. For instance, when the Albert Park was having their dispute with
the car race,
yes, there was a big... They marched in May Day. When we had, in 2010, we had the smart meters were a topic of concern. And they had a march of 100 people.
Oh, that's really.
And then I remember way back when there was a dispute with the drovers as such, and there was a whole lot of horses led the march.
Oh, wow, that's great.
And
I
then
it.
I remember also there when the... Graham Kennedy was in television. The media union.
Oh,
they
had
MEAA. They had some particular dispute, and Graham Kennedy was at the front of the march.
Oh, really?
Yes. And then another time when the maritime people were involved in something, they had a big float depicting a large boat, and because their issue was key at the time, then they led the march. Other times we've had the Aboriginal community lead the march. So my involvement with May Day has been, as a child, it was just part of our history and what you did. And I was very lucky that my family introduced me to May Day. And then I've been involved ever since as adolescents, such like Camp Eureka was a group of people that still exists.
Which still exists.
And we marched with one of them because I was in their gym group. Mm. And we had... a girl standing on a platform with a flag talking about Camp Eureka, and there were six boys were carrying her, and they were whinging and carrying on.
What, did they do the whole walk?
Yes, they did the whole walk while Joan was standing on the top holding the flag.
We might be a bit too lazy to do that these days.
We were about 40 years ago, I think, we introduced the concept of a concert after the march, and people would come back for a meal and a concert, and we introduced many people, or revived many of the old songs, the working class songs of the past and the current, and that. So, and then on the Thursdays, when Trades Hall used to have weekly Thursday meetings, when May Day was, the Sunday, the Thursday before, there would be a guest speaker organised by the May Day that would speak over a particular issue, and there was a meal provided so that people then went to the Trades Hall. Mm. So I've forgotten what our original discussion was.
Oh, well, basically, things have changed.
Yes, but they've changed. Yeah, I'm sorry, you shouldn't...
No, that's okay, that's all right. In fact, we should be moving on. We have to talk to Margaret from the Unitarian Church, who's also here and has joined the May Day celebrations, workers' celebrations. Of course, the Unitarian Church has for a long time been a very important element in the Naam community for progressive thought. That's why, isn't it, Margaret?
Yes, it is, Annie. It's been around now in Victoria since the 1850s.
Yeah, a long time.
So it's a long time, and it's a long time of progressive activities, which the Unitarian Church has always been involved with. In fact, we had the very first female minister in the world, Martha Turner Webster. There were two Quaker women in America, but Quakers do things differently. But we had an actual minister in the 1880s. And she, for a while, worked in Melbourne at the church, but she also lived in Gippsland, where I live, and she used to travel by horse and dray and two trains to get up to Melbourne. And when she did a decade of that, which is remarkable.
Oh, it is.
And when she stopped and retired from it, she then, of course, joined the suffragettes, as, of course, she should have and did. But she became very active in the community. She set up a health organisation for women because there was a lot of disease, because everybody was drinking out of the Yarra and pouring all their rubbish in there. So disease was rife among children and women. So she set up a committee that looked into that. She was quite a remarkable woman. And we've gone on from there. Unitarians have been... We're called the Melbourne Unitarian Peace Memorial Church because we've had a big role in the peace movement since the 1950s. Our minister back then was one of five ministers who fought for peace, and we've never stopped. So, for instance, on the table that I'm currently looking after, I'm also looking after information for No AUKUS because I'm a church representative on the No AUKUS committee, and I'm also looking after the campaign for international cooperation and disarmament. I'm a church rep there, and but I'm also looking after Australia-Cuba friendship information, and that's
which
because,
is also high on the anti-war sort of agenda at the moment.
And, yeah, very much so.
And I suppose we should... I'll point out that when the march comes back and we'll be going over to the speeches, that will be one of the important speeches, the anti-AUKUS throw out the alliance speech. Yeah,
yeah, Shirley Winton will be here to do that.
And just before we do that, we should finish off with David Ball from one of the assistant secretaries of the Victorian MUA branch. How are you? How are you? Been having a good day today?
Yeah, great day. Thanks, Annie. How are you?
Good. You guys do the sausage sizzle?
We do. Us and the CFMEU, Drew and Pete have been behind the barbecue all day, and Will, Bron and Brenda and a few others have been serving. So, yeah, been busy.
Yeah, yeah. It's a happy day, isn't it? It's good to have everybody here on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a really important day in everyone's calendar, I think, you know, particularly unionists and church activist groups. And, everybody gets together, and a lot of important themes this year with the state of the world at the moment, with the wars that are taking place. And this is a big anti-war rally, so it's really important.
And, of course, later in the day, MUA are going to be hosting a feeders event to support East... Timor-Leste, which is an ongoing connection that the MUA has.
Yeah, that's right. We've had a long relationship with the people of Timor-Leste and supporting the workers over there. They it's an emerging union, sort of growing union movement over there. We've got two special guests from Timor-Leste there today. I'm sorry, I can't remember their names. But one of them represents the domestic workers. And over there, a lot of the work is informal, and There's no employment contracts or EBA. So they've got the hard job cut out for them. But that's where the money's going today for the fundraiser to the Domestic Workers Union. So, yeah, down at the MUA rooms at 46 Island Street. Starts at 3:30 today.
Great. Thanks very much, you guys.
Thanks, Annie.
Cheers.